Glad you're here this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here this morning. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here this morning. All right, it's good to see everybody. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for it is true. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us through your Holy Spirit, that you've inspired men to write your words, that we know what you want us to do, and you've given us clear directions. And I pray, God, that we'd be people who just obey you and follow you, and that we would go and invite people to come to know how great you truly are. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. And of all the people in the house this morning, there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. If we look at that, that's called the Great Commission. And one thing that we get to do every January is to kind of go over again who we are, what we're about, and the things that keep Living Water committed to what the Bible has told us to do. And ever since the very beginning that we started this in our home, we were committed to the Great Commission. We believe this, that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will grow a great church. That if we will follow the Great Commission, that if we will do what Jesus says and love people the way Jesus says to love people, then we'll grow a great church. And Jesus, when he was about to go, this is Matthew's word of Jesus' last words to the disciples. And how many of y'all know that last words are lasting words? When you're going to say final words to someone, they're going to be important. And so Jesus says, he gathers his disciples together, and he gives them this commission, and he says, go and make disciples. Go. That word go means, also means as you are going, as you're going, as you're living life, as you're doing life, as you're out there doing whatever you're doing, pouring into other people's life, make disciples. Be a witness everywhere you go. If you follow, some of you are like me and Michelle, you're heavily involved in the community, doing a lot of things, and your life is busy. You know, I coach a team, Michelle coaches a team. It seems like Monday nights we're always doing something, Tuesday nights we're doing something, Wednesday we're at church, Thursday nights it's either practice or game, Friday nights could be a game, Saturdays could be a game, and then Sundays. And so we're out there, we pour into kids in our community. Some of you coach little leagues and stuff like that. How many of y'all do that? All right, you're pouring into them, right? You're pouring into them. And as you're going to work, as you're leading groups, as you're wherever, go make disciples, share and be the light of Jesus. Use everywhere you go as an opportunity to be a witness for who Jesus is, not only by the way you live your life, but by the things that you speak. Go make disciples. How do we make disciples? We baptize them. So discipleship without evangelism isn't discipleship, okay? You have to have evangelism and discipleship. Now, evangelism, that's a big church word, isn't it? That's a church word. So some of you aren't church people, so let me help you understand what evangelism is. Evangelism is just witness. It is inviting. We use the word inviting. That you just invite people to come. How many of y'all have ever invited someone to something? Anybody ever invited someone to a birthday party? To go watch a game? To go out to eat? Right? You just simply said, "Hey, you want to come to the party? You want to go to the movie? You know, did you all have a hard time doing that?" No, right? Nobody got offended. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a super simple thing this year. Every year we kind of emphasize this, and it's something that we can think about. What if each one reached one person who didn't know Jesus? What would that do? If each one of us in here today who are believers and know Jesus and we're going to heaven reached one person, not 10, not 20, not a lot of people, but you just reached one person, you made one impact on one person this year in them coming to know Jesus, what would that look like? What would that look like for our church? What would that look like for the kingdom of God? You know, it might help our church grow, but not necessarily. You may invite somebody, and you may lead somebody to Jesus, and they don't become a member here. Maybe they go and be a member somewhere else, but that's okay, because we're about in building the kingdom of God here, right? This is about building the kingdom of God, not our own personal kingdom, but the kingdom of God. And so each one of us made it a mission this year that we just simply go and invite people to journey with Jesus, to discover who he is, so that they might encounter a real living Savior. Wow, what would happen? And then we baptize them. Today we got to see that. It is a life change that Jesus has already made in somebody's life, and that is the outward visible expression of an inward reality that's already taken place. We baptize them. And then we teach them to observe all that he commanded. Not observe in just reading it and knowing it. Observe in actually obeying and doing it. Okay? That's why our small groups are important. That's why it's important to get into Bible study. So that you will learn what Jesus has called you to do. And then you go do it. We're going to simply look at how Jesus called some disciples and how he just invited them to come and see. And we're going to look at some of the early disciples and how they did it. And then we're going to just be challenged to duplicate what is shown in the New Testament. How's that sound? Sound good? Y'all ready to learn some stuff? All right, here we go. We're going to look at John chapter 1, starting with verse 35. John the Baptist had just been, he had baptized Jesus, he had been talking about Jesus, and he declared the glory of Jesus out loud. And there were some disciples that followed him that heard him speak of the greatness of Jesus, and it changed their life forever. Verse 35, it says, again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. So this was John the Baptist who had two of his disciples, two of his followers. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. So John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says, behold, there's the Lamb of God. Now look at verse 37. It says, the two disciples heard him speak, and then they followed Jesus. The two disciples that were disciples of John the Baptist heard John the Baptist speak about Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. And then the two disciples that were disciples of John the Baptist left him and followed Jesus. Can I tell you, in discipleship, you always lead people to follow Jesus, not you. Let me say that one more time, because that was so great, I don't think any of you got it, except for just a few of you. True discipleship, great discipleship, is when you lead people to follow Jesus and not you. John the Baptist realized that I must decrease and he must increase, that his ministry, that it's about his kingdom. I'm just a messenger preparing people to him. We're just to point people to Jesus. Jesus is greater than we are, and so we want people following Jesus, not ourselves. Amen? I don't want people following me. I want people following Jesus, all right? Sound good? Say amen. I'm going to start amening myself here in a minute. We're going to get going. Here we go. Because we're going to lead people to Jesus. It's about him. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, it says, and Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, what? Just come and see. Just come and see. This is simple. This is so simple, it takes a good theologian to mess this up, okay? You got to be ready, okay? So simple. He just says, come and see. Just come and see. Now watch. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. This was Simon Peter's brother. And when Andrew encountered Jesus and heard him speak, look what he did in verse 41. He found first his own brother Simon, and he said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. What did Andrew go and do? He went to his brother. How many of y'all got some family members that don't know Jesus? Anybody? They need to come and see. They need to come and hear. He goes to his brother, and he says, we found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Again, this is another interesting thing. Jesus finds people. Jesus isn't the one lost. We are. Aaron, you know, let me correct something. You know, I found Jesus. No, you didn't find Jesus. He found you. He wasn't lost. Amen? He finds us. We love him because he first loved us. We were lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he comes, finds us. So he finds Philip. And he says, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then look at verse 45. Philip goes and finds who? Nathanael. This was a friend. This is one of his friends. This is one of Philip's friends. He finds Nathanael and he says to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He goes to friend. How many of y'all got some friends that don't know Jesus? Anybody? You got some friends, people you work with, they don't know Christ. Philip was concerned about his friend, and he said, "Man, we found him. You've been looking for him, we've been looking for him, we've been hoping for some answers in life, and now we found it." And Nathanael says to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He's kind of a skeptic here for a moment. Why? Because Nathanael knew his Bible. He knew the Old Testament. He studied the Old Testament. And there's not much that says about Nazareth. And Nazareth was kind of like the bad end of the town. And he's like, "Really? I don't think so. Nazareth? Really? Could anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Philip didn't give him an apologetical discourse on why Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't break out into 5 points of why he had to believe. He simply said, "Just come and see." It's the one-time challenge that my wife does, that Michelle does so well. Y'all can take this challenge if you want to. Here's what she does. She does a great job of inviting people to come. She's actually better than me. Like, I'll ask and invite somebody to come to church, and they don't ever show up. And then Michelle can go and invite them, and then here they'll be. I'm like, "Whoa, you just keep inviting." So she does this amazing thing called the one-time challenge, and people she works with and people that she's around, she'll say, "Just come one time. If you'll just come out to church one time, and if you don't like it, it won't bother me, but just give it a shot. Just give it one time. Just come out one time." And that's worked on several people, hasn't it? So that's something that you could easily do. You know, you got a friend, you got somebody, and you just say, "You know what, just come one time. After that, I'll leave you alone. I'll quit bugging you. Just come one time." All right? Because here's why. What is Philip trying to do? He's trying to get his friend in the presence of Jesus. What are you trying to do? As a believer, you want to get your friend or family member in the presence of Jesus. Now here's what. I can promise you this. That if you bring them to church on Sunday morning, they will be in the presence of Jesus because the Holy Spirit is here and he moves and he speaks and he talks all through the song, through the prayers, through the message. God's moving. His presence is here and the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to reveal himself to your friend. That's good news, isn't it? So you don't have to be a super theologian to invite people. You don't have to go to seminary to invite people. All you got to do is simply say, "Hey, would you come to church with me this week?" That's not hard, is it? How many of y'all could take the one-time challenge? Anybody? Just one time. Just ask them. Just come to me one. Just come one time. If you don't like it, don't worry about it. You know? But just come one time. So he finds Philip and Nathanael's, you know, really kind of wondering, and he just says, "Come and see." Now let's look at the next verse. Before we go on that, I want to take time to hit this because this is good. In John 4:29, Jesus is at, he sees the woman at the well. Do y'all remember that story about the woman at the well? And he calls her out. He reveals her sin to her, and she's like, "Whoa, you must be a prophet." And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "If you drink this water, you drink from this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water that I will give, you'll never thirst again." This lady gets so excited that she runs back to her town and she becomes an evangelist. Yeah, lady evangelist, church. What do you think about that? She goes and she starts sharing her faith with other people. And she says this in John 4:29, "Come and see a man who told me all the things that I've done. This is not the Christ, is it?" I mean, that's kind of not a much of an evangelistic, throwdown of explaining who Scripture is. But what's she doing? She's just speaking of what she has experienced, and she's inviting people to go check Jesus out. They went out of the city, and they were coming to him. Because of what this lady said, they started coming to Jesus. All our purpose in witnessing is to get people into the presence of Jesus. Now, look what happens in 4:39. It says, "From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all the things that I've done.' So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Isn't that the purpose of witnessing and inviting? That we don't want people just to believe in Jesus because of what we say. That's one step. Come and see. Come check it out. All right, I'll come check it out and see what. And I just don't want people to believe because of what I say. I want them to encounter a real living Savior, and they believe because he speaks to them. That's completely different. You get it? So it goes from your witness to his saving grace that calls people out, and then they have an encounter with the risen Lord. That's what we're asking this year. We're going to grow stronger in our going. Let's go back to verse 47 in John chapter 1. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he says to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." He says, "Nathanael, I know you, man. I know you." Remember in Revelation, we talk about Jesus, and he has the eyes as flame of fire, that he not only can see at you, but he can see through you. He knows you. He says, "Nathanael, I know you, man. I know you, that you are a true scholar, that you truly know the Old Testament. And unlike Jacob that was full of deceit, there's no deceit in you. You're really searching for truth." And he calls him out and he speaks. And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That response started from a friend saying simply, "What? Just come and see." Brings him to encounter Jesus. And now Nathanael's worshiping him as God and King. Wow. Jesus answers and says, "Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." Say, Nathanael, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see greater things. He said, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's kind of reference to Jacob's ladder, you know, because there's no deceit in you, Nathanael. Jacob's ladder, remember when God was wrestling with Jacob and the heavens opened, there's Jacob's ladder. Some of y'all grew up, maybe you sing an old hymn called, "We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder." That's wrong theologically. You know that, don't you? We don't climb up to God. God comes down. The good news about the grace and the mighty loving of God the Father is that he sent his Son to come in human flesh, and God comes down. And because the heavens open and God comes down, we can be redeemed. And so the hope of our glory, the hope of our salvation, is not because we're climbing up to God. It's because God came down to man, and he saved us, and he redeemed us. He is Jesus, God in flesh. And so we worship him. And everywhere you encounter the presence of Jesus, you'll see the glory of God show up. in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in Luke's final words when Jesus was with him, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my" what? "Witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he said these things, he, this is Jesus, was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They also, and they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, and behold, there was two men in white clothing. These are angels that stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, he will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Nathanael indeed saw the Son of Man in his glory, with the angels ascending and descending, and him going up to the Father. But then the angels came and said, 'Guys, don't just stand there and stare up at the heavens. It's time to get to work. It's time to get busy.'" Because Jesus had poured into their lives for 3 years. He taught them what to say. He taught them what to do. He taught them how to live. He showed them. He spoke to them. And now he's empowered them to go do what he did. And he says, "You go and make disciples of all nations." You. And Peter, who once denied him, stands up and he preaches the first sermon. And the church is born and the gospel spreads. And the message is going out into the world just as Jesus commanded his disciples to do. So therefore today, all around the world, we've got brothers and sisters lifting up the name of Jesus in various languages, various dialects, various cultures, all around the world naming the name of Jesus. Why? Because his word goes forth just as he declared it. He invites us to be part of this story. He invites you to be a part of this gospel story, to make disciples. Here in Montgomery County, Powell County, Menifee County, Bath County, Clark County, Kentucky, the United States, around the world, we get to engage and be a part. As Deuteronomy 32, verse 11 says, "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that hovers over its young, he spreads his wings and caught them and carried them on his pinions." As an eagle gets ready to get her young eaglets ready to fly, it's as if God was gathering his disciples and he said, "Shoo, it's time to go. It's time to go fly. It's time to go share my name to the world." And they did it. And it's being done. And we're doing it. And we will continue to do it until he comes back. And never forget, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Because there's going to be a day when Jesus, who went up into the sky as they saw leave, he is coming again. But until that day, Jesus says, "Go, make disciples." So guess what we better be doing? Go. Share his great name. Draw people to himself, so that they might be saved. What do you think? Can you say, "Just come and see"? Just come and see. Just come and check out what God's doing. And let God begin to move. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you are here today. That your presence is here. That your word has been declared. That your spirit is moving. He is speaking. And we have an opportunity, God, to respond to your great invitation. Lord, today, as I have been preaching, your Holy Spirit has been speaking to some hearts and saying, just come and follow me. So, Lord, I pray that for that man, that woman, that you've been knocking on their heart's door, that they will open and they will respond and they will say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. For those of us who know you, Lord, there's people in our lives that we know that if they do not trust in you for salvation, they are eternally lost. I pray that that stirs our soul, that we begin to pray that they might come and see how awesome God is. Would you begin praying for them? Father, have your will in our heart. May this time of invitation be a time where we just don't sing, but we come and sing and we pray and we do your business, God. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to what you're speaking in our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond. Let's let God move in our hearts for whatever reason you need to come this morning. Come, come and pray. Come and pray and lay it down.
Find you in the name.
all of God's people said, amen. So, you see how simple it was for Andrew and Philip? All they said was what? Just come and see. It's not difficult. Now, if everybody brought somebody next week, you may have to either come to the first service or the third service. It's good seeing the place full. I'm glad you're here today. And our prayer is that you walk out of here knowing Jesus. So, you came back this Sunday. We said, we're going to have fun this year. We're going to enjoy the Lord. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy it. Is it always going to be easy? No. Already started off with a heartache for Ray. But you know, she knew the Lord, so there's joy even in the mourning. Okay? So we don't mourn like those who have no hope. We're Christians. Okay? There's a difference. And we want you to know Jesus. So one thing that you need to know about our church is you're going to hear about Jesus a lot. Okay? And so we're going to keep it that way. And we invite you to come back and journey with us. Go out there and just ask people just to come and see. Come and see what God is doing. And may He do His work in our hearts. Amen? So we're going to go and invite people to who? We're going to love people where they are so they'll connect to who? And we're going to gather to worship, learn, and celebrate with one another. Let's read our verse of Scripture and let's be dismissed. You ready? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.